Good evening. I hope everybody is doing well. This is R.C. Blakes. If this is your first time on my channel, my name again is R.C. Blakes, and I'm a pastor, I'm an author, I'm a man, I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a student of life. And I love communicating, I love talking, I love sharing with people. I love learning from people, and I love teaching the lessons that I've learned. So that's the basis of who I am. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm no relationship guru, as some people introduce me to be at times. I'm just a man that's lived a little bit, and I've learned some things, and I share those things as I go. So tonight, so as not to delay or to waste time, I want to talk about learning to invest your heart like we invest our money. Walking into love wisely. I don't believe in, you know, the phrase falling in love, because a fall indicates an accident. And it's an accident that could end in injury or even death. So I don't believe that we should fall in love. I believe that we should walk in love. And we should walk in love wisely, incrementally, intentionally. It should not be some over off into something and, you know, we end up where we end up. It should be intentional. It should be calculated. It should be decisive, you know. So many people are carried away into what they call love based on some emotional impulse, which most of the time boils down to be nothing but lust. That serves to deceive and to position one to be broken and to be manipulated. So I was just thinking about this thing, investing your heart, investing your love like you do your money. You know, there's some basic things that we employ when it comes down to investing our money. But before I get into that, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? But the principle there, he says, is be not unequally yoked together. In other words, don't be tied down to, don't find yourself burdened down with, loaded down with. Don't find yourself connected to somebody that, you know, that is usual affairs. We wake up and we realize that we're burdened with somebody that was never really intended to be a part of our lives. And that's because we did not invest ourselves, we did not invest our hearts wisely. This particular conversation for tonight, till you possess it. You can't till you first possess it for yourself. There are whose self-esteem is bankrupt, trying to invest themselves into someone else. I'll say that again. We have too many people whose self-esteem is the self-esteem is bankrupt, and they're trying to invest themselves into someone else. You cannot invest it until you possess it. You know, there's a statement that we made. Well, I make it all the time, but I made it most recently at Queenology in Orlando. And the statement was, if you need to be married, you don't need to be married. If you're a person that's, you know, love starved, no sense of self-identity or purpose or self-love, you don't have enough to invest in anyone within and for yourself. There are too many folk that are trying to embrace love affairs to compensate for an empty self-esteem. And that shouldn't be, because when you lack sufficient self-love and you attempt to invest yourself into someone else's life, you end up positioning yourself either to be manipulated and abused, or you end up breaking another person because you'll expect more of them than you should rightfully anticipate. There are some things that you have to provide for yourself before you involve anyone else. So, you know, the first common sense rule for investing is that you can't invest what you don't possess. You can't effectively love another person if you don't love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, another person cannot know how to love you, because it is self-love that indicates to another how we are to be loved. People give back to us what we possess for ourselves. The Bible says in Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You cannot love your neighbor beyond the love you have for yourself. Nor should you attempt to love anyone else before you have discovered the love for yourself. I'm always going back to the book of Genesis. At the end of the day, I'm a preacher, a Christian, and the Bible is my document. And going back to the book of Genesis, there's a reason that God created Adam and Eve independent of each other. He creates Adam alone, and then at some point in the future, he creates Eve, but he allows both of them to live life without the other. They learn to love God. They learn to identify purpose, and they love to be content with themselves. They learn self-love before God ever brings them together. And when he creates Eve, he puts Adam to sleep and he allows Eve to exist without Adam. It's because you cannot love another before you learn to love yourself. You're not equipped to invest love into anyone else before you have learned to love yourself. Most important. This is most important. And you ask the question, why is it that I keep finding people that break me? It's because you are investing the investment you're making into the situations is a broken investment. People simply give back to you what you possess or lack of, or what you lacked, or what you lack, what you either possess or what you do not possess for yourself. So the reason I keep attracting people that break me and use me and manipulate and crush me is because I keep investing myself into relationships before I've established a self-love, a significant self-love. I cannot invest it until I possess it. There are many of you that are watching me right now. The best thing that could happen for you is that you were alone. Because it's when we're alone that we learn to love ourselves. And so many of you call it lonely. I'm lonely. I'm lonely. Really, you're not, you know, it's really not about being lonely. It's about learning to be whole. It's about learning to be content with yourself and with God. And when you come to that place, now you're equipped, you're sufficiently supplied with self-esteem that now you can really embrace and take on another. But not until then. So rule number one, you can't invest it until you possess it. I hope that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. It's the lack of self-love that creates the energy that connects people to you that are toxic. Thank you, Jay. It's the lack of self-love. It's the lack of self-appreciation that attracts people to your life that drain you and abuse you and misuse you consistently. Because self-love is the energy that you give out to the world. Self-love says to certain people, there's no need in me even approaching this. And self-love says to others, here's a prime target for my abuse. Or the lack of self-love says to others, this person is a prime target. You cannot invest it until you possess it. Number two, thank you, Yen. You never invest something you do not know the data on. You never invest in something that you do not know the data on. Right now, I'm slowly but surely I'm learning trading. I'm learning trading. You know, you just have to be multifaceted. I feel sorry for people who are just one track. It's sad. It's really sad. So I'm learning trading, and there's a language that you have to learn, you know what I mean? And there's research that you have to do, and you need to know what kind of companies, what kind of trading you want to do. You want to, you need the data. You never invest in something you don't know the data on. Okay, now how do we apply this to walking in love? You never invest your heart into a person that you've not gotten the data on. There are too many of you that are, see, you can love from this angle. Most people love from, okay, the proper way to love is to love from the spirit. In other words, to be in the presence of a person, feel a person's energy, and to have a witness in your spirit, the God part of you that says, okay, let's investigate this. And then the next step is to move the relationship or the connection to a cerebral level where you begin to use your brain to investigate and to you discern with your spirit, you investigate with your brain, your mind, and you do this by what? Asking questions and waiting on answers and analyzing responses. And when the spirit and the brain come into agreement, now there's this thing called covenant, called marriage, where now you open your heart and you begin to love this person from an emotional place of freedom. And, an emotional place where, where you make yourself vulnerable, but you've done the discerning, you've done the investigating, you've gotten the data, you've observed this person for consistency of character. Most people bypass the spirit, the discernment, bypass the intellect, and they go straight to the emotion, which brings them where? Directly to the sex. And the sex confuses the chemistry of the connection so much so that you don't recognize, you don't discern that this person is a demon. And you don't put it together in your brain that this person is toxic and destructive, because you went straight emotional and it turned sexual. And it's not until after you've gone too far that you wake up and you realize it's not working. But if you had gotten the data, because you never invest in something you don't know the data on, why would you give your heart to somebody and you don't have the data? All you know is that you have a chemical reaction to their presence because their swag or their cologne or their looks moves you. Thank you, Pamela. You know, and there's this chemical reaction in you that is nothing different, no different than, thank you, Jay, no different than base animals. And that's what you're riding on. That's what you're giving your whole heart to. You're investing all of your heart into something you don't have the actual data on. You've not gotten the information on this person. And you're all in. You have children, minor children, that you're pulling into this situation, and you don't really even have the data on this person. And you're investing all of yourself into this. This is what we're doing. We're not respecting our hearts as much as we respect our money. Because if somebody walked up and they said, you know, I want you to take $10,000 out the bank and I want you to invest in this here. Thank you, Paula. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to get the data. You're going to at least Google and try to get some information on this company and information on the person that is asking you to invest. But how is it that many of you that are watching me right now have invested all of you, your body, your mind, your soul, your money, everything, your reputation, into someone that you've not even gotten the data on? Thank you. What is it? LA? Thank you. I pause because I want you to think about this. You're sleeping with someone. You don't even know their credit score. And you're in the bed with them. You're sleeping with someone. You haven't even done a background check. You don't even know that they've been incarcerated. You know nothing about this person. All you know is there was a sexual attraction, and like two base animals, you just came together and made it. And now your soul is tied. Your soul is broken because you've invested yourself into something that you didn't get to do. Look what the Bible says in 1 John 4:1. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, that's a principle. He says, don't believe the first impression. Don't believe the first face you see, but try, test, investigate, research, because there are many false prophets that are gone out. You never invest in something you don't know the data on. If you don't know the data on it, you pass on it. If you don't know the data on it, you pass on it. I don't care how attracted you are. You don't know the data on this situation, and they won't answer questions. They don't want conversation. You pass on that. You don't invest your heart. Your heart is all you got. Out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. When you invest your heart, you are investing your life. You're investing your future. If you can't get the data, you pass on that. Thank you, Cynthia. Does this make sense? I'm not able to read your comments. They're moving fast. But I pray that this is making sense. I was thinking about it. The Holy Spirit said, man, the people have more respect for their money than they do their own hearts. They're investing their hearts with less discretion than they would their money. Number three, I only have four. I don't have much of a voice tonight. Number three, watch this. Now listen to this very carefully. Now this point right here is very, very significant and powerful. So if you're thinking about chiming out, don't chime out right now. I want you to listen to this. Number three, never invest more at one time than you can emotionally stand to lose. Never invest more at one time than you can emotionally stand to lose. This is something they share with you when you're investing money. They ask you, I forget exactly how it's put, but it's more like more or less a risk profile. Do you want to be extremely risky, or do you want to be extremely cautious with your investing? And it boils down to how much money can you invest, and if it does not work, if you lose it all, you won't lose your mind. And that's where they begin. And I was thinking about that and thinking in terms of how this is a lesson to be expanded on, actually, how we have to learn to love incrementally. You don't fall in love, you walk in love. You don't meet somebody today and then next week, who was that? May, I think it is. Thank you, Angel. Thank you so much. You don't meet somebody today and then next week. You're talking about you got a soul tie. You know, they're acting different. You don't know what you're going to be able to, how you're going to live without them. When did you meet this? 2 weeks ago? Come on, man. You mean to tell me you invested so much of yourself in such a short span of time? You gave so much of yourself away in such a short span of time that now you're ready to jump off of a bridge behind somebody you've known less than a year? I don't care if you've known them 100 years. It ain't time to jump off no bridge for nobody, quite honestly. But I hope you're getting my point. You never invest more at one time than you can emotionally stand to lose. So until a person proves themselves, proves him or herself from one level to the next, you invest accordingly. You invest accordingly. This is what I teach women, that you always let the man drive the momentum of the relationship. You don't, the woman is the gift to the man. You don't go there and throw all yourself out there giving yourself to some man. Thank you, Leslie. And he's not proven nothing to you. He's not made any strides. He's not pushed the relationship forward at all. And you driving the momentum of the relationship. You dragging him along. Uh-uh. No. The man is supposed to lead in the initial stages of a relationship. The man is supposed to lead the relationship in terms of proving himself to be worthy of the woman. Thank you, Crystal. The man is supposed to lead in terms of proving himself to be worthy of the woman. And then as the man progresses towards commitment more and more and more, then the woman is to follow the lead of the man. And then after they come into covenant, marriage. Now, I'm not talking about y'all, talking about we moving in together, we on that tip. Now, I'm not talking about this new school stuff. I'm not with this new school stuff. And I know a lot of y'all are, and I'm not going to go that way. But I'm talking about marriage. When a man marries a woman, now the woman is in a posture where she can, thank you, Dom, I think it is, where she can submit to the man, but not until. Because you never invest more at one time than you can emotionally stand to lose. Why would you give a man all of your body? Thank you, Ann. all of your time, all of your youth, and then he walk out on you. And now you don't know what to do because you invested more of yourself into something that was not proven than you could afford to lose. This is why I'm not a gambler. I don't gamble. I spend a lot of time at hotels that are got casinos in them because they have some great rooms. You know, I love those rooms, man. Oh, Lord. Those suites and all that. Oh, my God. But I don't gamble. I walk straight through the casino because sometimes they got the restaurants on the other side. Straight down the middle of the casino. You ever see me in a casino? Don't assume I'm gambling. I'm going to a restaurant. I don't gamble because I know if I give you my $10, thank you, Latia. Thank you. If I give you my $10 and you talking about I lost in less than 5 seconds, it's going to be a problem in here. So I'm not putting my money up there. I'm not pulling on no lever. I'm not rolling no dice because you're not going to take my money from me like that. So since I know, thank you, Cheryl. Since I know I'm of a mindset that I can't afford to lose my money, I'm not going to even play with it. So why would you roll the dice with your heart and know at the end of the day you can't afford to lose that with a person that you've not even proven? You don't even have the data. All you have is emotion. All you have is, you know, the momentum of lust carrying you into a pit of self-destruction. But you never invest more at one time than you can emotionally stand to part with.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.